KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines are open at 884-9910. Whatever you would like to talk about today. I do have a special guest letting you know if you want to make a little appointment listening and be back at 11 o'clock because I have a special guest by the name of Bill Whalen, who is, done stuff for the Hoover Institute. He is a political columnist out of Sacramento. He's got all kinds of stuff under his belt, and he is going to be the special guest speaker at the historic Danburg Ranch this weekend as we celebrate Douglas County Heritage Days. It is going to be absolutely gorgeous. Have you ever been to the Danburg Ranch? Wow. Please look that up online. I don't care if you're out in Fernley, in Reno, in Sparks, wherever you're at, this is Nevada history. And I was talking to a gentleman not too long ago that people don't know enough about Nevada history. When they come here from different states, the beautiful, rich culture that we have here and just the ranch itself is stunning. But it's Heritage Days. We're going to have a blast. I can't wait for you to hear from Bill at 11 o'clock today. We're going to go over some interesting topics. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He also writes for, politics and current events for Forbes.com. So he's got a little bit of knowledge there. Special commentator on Fox News and those other stations too, but we won't mention them because we are the home of Fox News. But when it takes a part of Nevada history and puts it out there for everybody, you really need to take a look at this. I found out something very interesting. And thank you to all of the emails at monica@991fmtalk.com. The area that we drove around yesterday, that we were out by Peavine, one of the gentlemen, Mike actually, who was writing with me at the time and who I was talking to on the air briefly for one, two segments, we were talking about the fact he's been out there for three decades now, 30 years. There was a little town out there. I need to look more of it up, Poville or something like that. And there was a hotel right where we were parked. He's pointing out the area. Yeah, this was a hotel right here. And wow, you never would have known that looking out at that kind of desolate area. I mean, I think of Peavine and all I think of is the transmitter towers that are up there. But it's actually rich in history. And it is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we're going to call some people out. I posted my adventures, and QOL Reno posted the adventures as well and posted some pictures out there. And I was laughing with my husband, actually, on Sunday when we drove out and took a little tour of the area by ourselves. And there was a truck that looked like a trailer from a big rig looked like it had been an accident. And it was up there, and I'm wondering, okay, is this the salvage yard? Is this the people who... No. I found out the story on that trailer that is literally half a trailer that was in an accident on, I want to say 395 North, but I-580 North. Got hit by the wind, torn up. So it's out there now in the desert. And the company that it belongs to has no intention of coming out and getting it. They don't want it. It's trashed. They had it hauled up there. It was dumped. The tongue of the trunk was just dumped, so it can't be attached to a big rig and hauled off somewhere. So they just left it in the desert. Now, as we posted all of this, as you know, a little recap here, as we posted all of this online, I am amazed at the response that we have been getting from the general public that have gone on and made a few comments like, ooh, you went up into the hills and you snitched on some campers. Ooh, what are you going to do now? Seriously? you can look at this person's profile who is making these comments and, you know, a gamer who obviously doesn't live in the real world, probably will never own property. But would you say something like that if that were your property? If a company just needed to get rid of a shredded big rig trailer, dumped it on your property after an accident, had no intention of coming and getting it, knocking it down, taking it to a salvage yard, cutting it up, I don't know, maybe even fixing the flatbed part of it and using it for a trailer for something else. Or if you had squatters on your property who were dumping raw sewage and making a mess, making a fire hazard, would you make those same statements? Because just for us going out and doing our little bit of research, we found out that all of the squatters that we saw, guess what? Squatters on private property. We came across a ranger on the way down after the show was over, and he pointed out the line to us. He pointed out BLM property. He pointed out private property. And that was a real eye-opener, because these people think that they're up there on BLM land. Because they don't know. They're squatters. They don't care. They see an open piece of desert, and they're just going to make camp. Just dumping their toilets right out into the ground. That's a nice little historic piece of land out there, owned by somebody who doesn't live in this state. So should they be penalized and just let this happen? They probably don't know. They probably think they have this little piece of desert out here in Nevada, and, you know, what's going to happen to it? Well, you have people living on it. And by the way, campers on BLM property, on BLM land, designated BLM land, because it's really not their property, it's our property. It's the Bureau of Land Management for us. You can only go out there and put down stakes for 2 weeks. Unpermitted, you can just go out and decide that you're going to camp. The people that we spoke to who had the guts to come out and talk to us so we could see what was going on, they had been there for 2 months. Okay, so not only are you breaking the law on BLM property that you think you're on, that you're not on, you're on private property, and you're creating a health hazard. Yet people want to go on Facebook for people who are actually making a difference, who are actually going out and doing something, who are researching the information, finding the private property owners and telling them, showing them with pictures, documenting it, that this is what's going on your property. Do what you will with the information. If you have no interest in having them removed, that's fine. I guess we did our part. Now we'll have to move to code enforcement. Because it doesn't matter if you own property or not, you can't go up there and live in squalor and create a health hazard for people. Because you know what runs downhill. Mm-hmm. The other interesting thing that we found out up there for all of my Second Amendment supporters, as we really got the feeling that this ranger did not want to talk to us, had the body language and the tone in his voice that, I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to discuss this with you, I am not allowed to talk about this, and I don't want to talk about it, is the fact that you might remember on Sunday, I told you that I saw a long gun being shot out there by one group of people, looked like a family, probably a new purchase. And I saw another group of people that were popping off shots with a handgun. Well, he proceeded to tell us that there was no shooting allowed in that area. None. They have designated it. I don't know who they are, but I guess he was going out to put up a sign, no shooting, probably because of fire hazard. There was a fire hazard, or there was a fire out there a few months ago by target shooters who had the cojones to stay around and say, hey, you know, we tried to put this out. We started it. We were target shooting. They were arrested. And he proceeded to tell us that if you hear anything or see anything, immediately call the sheriff's department and they will be right out there, lights and sirens. Now, that's not coming from the sheriff's department, because the sheriff's department, even though they were invited, they did not show up. Even though my understanding from the organization, the people that organized it, had spoken to Balaam and said that he was not able to attend, but he would send representatives. Well, representatives never showed up. RPD had two units show up. But they didn't go on the field trip with us. They were there just at the start. And, of course, would not go on the air with me. So, let me get this straight. You have squatters out there breaking the law, raw sewage going out into our desert environment on private property. But if someone is on BLM land in at once designated shooting areas, because before all this was built up out there, that's where people would go and shoot and have no issues. Someone has now designated that off limits to shooters. And if you are out there, immediately law enforcement will show up and either arrest you or stop you. Are you seeing some double standards here? Are you seeing how we pick and choose the laws that we choose to enforce just with something as simple as that? Both can be considered health and safety. Just a thought. What do you want to talk about today? 884-9910. President Trump being attacked from left and right. All kinds of trouble for him. Lots of things coming down with Daybreak. Daybreak development. Talking to one gentleman who's actually on the Verdi watershed. He had no idea more homes were being planned for Verdi. It's going on all around us, folks. Got more for you coming up right here on The Monica J Show on KKFT, live and local, 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT, 99.1 FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada, but we just keep growing. Evans Broadcast Company now taking over 92.3 FM in Yerington and Smith Valley. Monica at 991FMTalk.com. If you have pictures, if you have affidavits, if you have copies of memos, make sure you send them to me at Monica at 991FMTalk.com. We need to know what's going on here in Northern Nevada, how we can make it better, what the issues are, and only you can help us spread the word. So many people are ignorant as to what is going on around us in their backyards, and they're going to know real soon what's going on because it just keeps getting worse. 991FMTalk.com. If you missed Friday's show or yesterday's show, I'm so out of it thinking about it. Mine's racing a mile a minute. You can go on to 991fmtalk.com, go into the podcasts, and you can hear yesterday's live show from the area around and surrounding Peavine Mountain. And some good stuff. Some good stuff. Very happy with the amount of people that showed up. News 4 and Channel 2 also showed up to get some footage. News Channel 2 actually went up one of the roads with us. Channel 4, they just got an interview as Paul White of Quality of Life Reno was interviewing one of the police sergeants who works with the homeless. And also, law enforcement didn't go out to the camps with us. Just the public. Just the people who are concerned about the issue. Like this gentleman who is on the line right now. He was one of the supporters and the participants. And so let's say good morning to Clay. Clay, how are you doing today? It was a bumpy ride yesterday.
It was. It was a little bumpy. Yeah, it definitely was. It's quite a road. How are you, Monica?
I am doing great. So what did you think about yesterday's field trip?
You know, I wanted to kind of tune in from a I came on it because I lived out in South Reno. I don't live anywhere near there, but we have certainly seen, you know, I bought my son a metal detector, and we went out and metal detected, and we live down by the Tamani Ranch area, specifically by the Summit Mall, and there's a little creek that runs through kind of some vacant lot area out there, and we were down there, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing, all the trash, and then he picks up a needle, and then I look around, and there's needles all over, and then that bridge that is between Summit Mall and Maverick, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on under there. So those of us in South Reno that don't think this isn't coming to our area, it's already there. I wanted to just kind of tune in. You know, I read the comments on Facebook, and I guess when that guy's nads drop, give us a call. That was just ridiculous what he said. And I'm not even going to respond to it outside of that because it was just so idiotic. If you want to know a solution, you should have showed up yesterday. But I will just throw out a couple interesting things that I found out. So I talked to the ranger initially, and he was definitely fairly standoffish, but a nice guy. What I thought was interesting, though, is I also talked to a hiker that was there. And he had lived there for about 20 years and said that he hadn't seen any of this happening until about the past year. He said he's been hiking up Peavine Road every day for about 20 years and taking his dog with him, and he hadn't seen what's happening there now. And I thought that was really interesting. And I think what people in the public and the community need to ask ourselves is, this is only going to go three ways, right? It's either going to get better, as in we're not going to have people. And what you need to understand is those campers that are out there were built 50 years ago, and they are not going to be driving out of there. So if you want to have another junkyard, that's what that's turning into, right? We saw burned out campers. We saw some that they're just not going anywhere. They were towed in on trucks that didn't look like the trucks could make it out of there. Is that problem then going to get better? They're going to start cleaning up after themselves and taking their own vehicles to the dump and junkyard and salvage yards? Or is the problem going to be the same? Or is it going to get worse? So I'll tell you, I went up on my own. I was in the tan truck, and I turned from where you guys went up and talked to those people, and I went to the other encampment and talked to a kid. He was probably, I'd say, in his mid-20s. He was there with an older lady that I would say was in her late 50s, early 60s. Both were definitely, you could tell, I won't go into my background, but they were, I wasn't a druggie, but I can see the signs, and you could tell they were both probably on some type of a drug, would be my guess. And but he had a big 14-inch blade strapped to his side, and so I just kind of pulled up there and started talking to him. I said, hey, where are you guys from? And he first told me he was from Stead, and I said, well, yeah, I was born at night, just not last night. Where are you really from? And he said, well, we're here from California. And then, of course, the hiker and the ranger both said the same thing, and that was that all of those people up there, or a bulk of them, had been there for well over 2 months. And, of course, the comment online was that they're just campers. Well, I don't know, you know, maybe back in the 1800s you would call that camping, but camping nowadays is taking your kids out and spending the night, right, in the wilderness. I'm going to go out on a limb and say if you're going camping, that's probably not your first spot to choose. But, I mean, I think what my plea would be, and I'm going to throw something out to you, Monica, and I don't want to mention too much about him because I understand kind of his background stuff. But the gentleman that was there yesterday that you interviewed, kind of an older gentleman that lived up there, I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, but I would love, and I would be one of them, I would love to actually, we keep hearing what the issues are, and I don't really know. You know, I only spoke to one of them, and I don't know, do they have mental issues? Are they truly homeless, or is this just a lifestyle they've chosen to live? And yeah, they're all on private property, but I would love to get him, and I don't want to take a lot of people because I don't think it would work well, but I would be more than willing. I'm 6'6", 290, so I'm not real worried about it. But I'm not going to go up there with a big knife strapped to my side or a gun that's in the open. But I would love to take him, and I would love to report back to you, and he and I go up there and interview people after 6, because that's when they're going to be up there, right? And just see what are they doing up there? Why are they there? What's their life story? And are they really squatters? Are they just campers? I would love to do it. So if you could put me in touch with him, I would be more than willing to do that.
And I am more than happy to do that.
Yeah, we don't report back. You know, they buried us in a shallow grave up there somewhere. So,
there was quite a number of areas. I said, you know, I bet there's a body in there.
Yeah, they found that pet grave. And thank goodness it was just a pet grave and not a human grave. But one other thing I would just throw out, and, you know, I've always been into politics. My first degree is in political science. And I'm a business owner actually down in Carson, and I live in South Reno. And up until I started listening to your show about 4 months ago, I couldn't have cared less about local politics. I hate to admit this on the radio, and I hate to admit this at all, but I need to be honest here. Yeah, I voted for Hillary, not knowing who she was or what she was. I was just an idiot, and I would never do that again.
We all make mistakes, Clay.
We do, yeah. So my plea to everyone is, I now see the importance of paying attention to local politics because it affects me and my family much, much more than anything going on in Washington right now. What's going on locally is abhorrent. I can't believe the city, the sheriffs, listening to that sergeant who was a really nice guy talk yesterday. He honestly could have run for politics because that's basically what we heard was just a run around the truth.
Yeah.
So my plea with everyone that listens to your show is get your friends to listen to it. Talk to everyone you can. This is very important because I can tell you of those three directions that this is going to go, it's only going one direction. It's not getting better in California, and that's where they're coming from, in my opinion. That's what I found out yesterday. But it's such a small sample size, I can't say that definitively, obviously. But I think people need to be involved in it. The public needs to be very aware. So I hope everyone, no matter where you're at in the Reno area, Carson, we have the same issue down here. They're just hidden better. But it is a big issue, and it's going to get worse. I would agree. I would say that next year, if we go back to Monica, I would say there was probably 15 to 20 campers and trailers.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Clay, I gotta cut you off. If you want to stick around, I'd love to hear your comment on that, but I got to take a Fox News break here real quick. But please stay on the line, and I want you to finish your comment. So we'll be right back after this on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 FM for all of Northern Nevada. Love having you here with me today, Monica, at 991FMTalk.com. If you'd like to send me an email, you've got a special event coming up. If you've got a request for some issues that we haven't touched on, please make sure you send me that email and let me know what's going on around your neighborhood. 884-9910 is the number that Clay called this morning, doing a little recap of yesterday. Clay was on our field trip, and a business owner, a South Reno resident, finding out what's going on here in Northern Nevada. Clay, thank you for sticking through the break with me to continue on our brief little conversation there about what's happening here in Northern Nevada. And now you're seeing it in a bigger spectrum of it's not just a homeless issue. Go back to what you were saying before the break.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a bigger issue than that. In fact, you know, the other point I was just going to throw out was, so I had the, and I can't remember his name, the kid that got his car got firebombed.
Curtis,
yeah. So Curtis rode with me for just a little bit up there. So I kind of asked him a little bit about his history and what happened and everything. And I think people need to realize, like, just how dangerous this could really be for neighbors and neighborhoods and what it's going to bring. I mean, think about this. Who does that? Knows how to make a Molotov cocktail, and the fact that you know how to make that and then you actually use it. And this was in, I think he said it was about 6 o'clock at night. So it was dusk. And
In the morning. In the morning.
Oh, sorry, in the morning. That's right. It was at 6 o'clock in the morning. So who does that kind of stuff? I mean, that's pretty scary stuff that they would throw something like that into your car while you're in there. And, I mean, that should be scary to all of us. And so my last point is I thought that was great. I'd love to do it again. And it would be interesting to see if we could get any public figures out there. But the other thing that
That's my concern, Clay, is everybody was invited. The personal invitation to the city council person who has that area, personal invitations to Chief Soto, to the mayor, email invitations to all of the council members, all of the commissioners. And that is my concern, is they are not interested in going out and really working on solutions.
Well, and here's what I would throw out, and now that I listen to your show, I think this will happen, but, you know, we have an election coming up here in 13 months? And there's definitely one way we can send a clear message to them, and I'll tell you what, I will definitely be getting involved this next election in getting Hillary voted out, getting some of those people that are bringing this to our community. And again, I would emphasize that this problem is not going to get better. It's not going to stay the same. It's going to get worse. That's all there is to it. I mean, the honest solution is send them back to where they came from, but that's not going to happen, right?
Well, and I believe one of the issues is the fact that they feel emboldened because they aren't harassed by law enforcement, they aren't harassed by the public, that they can go out and they can just drop camp, drop trout, do whatever they're going to do, and they can live their lifestyle. And I believe you were, you know, thank you for going over and talking to the gentleman and the woman, because they're not being harassed over there. So if you want to do drugs, if you want to live that kind of lifestyle, what better place to do it than out in a desert area yet, or an unoccupied area, and yet close enough to bus routes, food, town, and even garages and homes, so you can go out and acquire things. You know, car burglaries are up, garage thefts are up. This is how people make their living, so they can live out in nowhere and do drugs.
Yeah, so the last thing, Monica, I would say is if you'll just put me in touch with that guy, if you want me to hold on after and give my contact information, I most definitely will. But I would love to do that for you, and I think for the community, just to see that way the naysayers, like on Facebook this morning, that were saying, you know, that we just went and harassed a bunch of campers. Let's find out. And I would love to do that. So I'll leave you at that. I appreciate what you do, though. You do a great job.
Thank you, Clay. I appreciate it. And yes, give Dan your contact information, and I will definitely get you hooked up with Mike, and we'll stay in touch as well, because we are not going to stop doing this. We shall continue. So, Clay, thank you for calling in and doing the recap and showing that this is where we have come. This is how we have gotten to this problem, or to this point in the problem, is the apathy, the elections don't concern me. Oh, people seem to like Hillary. We'll just keep doing the same thing we're doing. And we can't do that anymore. We cannot do that anymore. Let's go back to the phone lines at 84-9910 and check in with Rick this morning. Hi, Rick. What would you like to talk about?
Well, it's an honor to be with you. We've listened to you for a long time. It's a first-time caller. You're a very realistic person.
Thank you.
I would like to voice to you that irregardless of the way people have chosen their lifestyles, this is America, and we can. I am also a veteran. But what we are doing, we have a crew that's a Misfits car crew, and we're on Facebook. And our crew, instead of doing a car show, because we're avid automobile people and everything else, the people that are out there, the misfortunate, we are so blessed in the way that we are able to conduct our lives that we are going to start giving back to the community. We're doing blankets and hygiene products, and we're going to go out in November and start donating this to all the homeless. And if anybody
that
would
is
like to
wonderful.
Donate, we are on Facebook. I am computer illiterate by choice, but there is a Facebook page that is run by a wonderful gal, Rihanna. She's going to kill me for doing this. But we need donations of anything that we can possibly get, new items if possible. We're focusing a lot upon the families that are less misfortunes and what have you. And we're making up lunches and anything else that we can give to them, whether they're from California, whether they're from Nevada, or wherever. It doesn't matter. The good Lord has blessed us all so much, and we just want to give back to them and help in any way that we can.
Well, Rick, I think that's fantastic, because there is a difference between people who choose to go out and live a life of drugs and unproductive, to the people who are in a misfortune of not being able to afford the higher rising costs of rent, who wind up as a family with kids and a husband and wife in a car. And they do. They need blankets. They need socks. They need warm weather gear. Because we had one gentleman who made the statement, who is on and off homeless at times, and, you know, there are people out there who couch surf, that the shelter that we have here is worse than prison, that they don't feel safe, that there are people with, you know, there are distinguishing characteristics. There are the mentally ill, there are down and out economically homeless, and then there are drug addicts. And you can't lump all of these people in together and come up with a solution that fits everybody. And
we
for the people who are truly down,
that are not wanting to go to those shelters because they are unsafe. But what else do they have except living on the streets without blankets, without hygiene products, or the availability of a bathroom, for crying out loud? And there's nothing that we can actually do as far as housing, but there is for small comforts like hygiene products or soap. I mean, what are you going to do, wash your face and shave in a drinking fountain? I mean, we're going to go out and we're going to try and make a difference, as little as it may be. But it's just a blessing that we can try and do in help as much as we can. Because the bureaucracy of today with shelters and government and everything else trying to take care of these people, there is a lot of people that fall through the cracks.
Yes, there are. I agree with you on that, Rick. Please, Rick, what is that Facebook page? I got to get a hold of you, because I have collected. Every time I go and travel, I take my own stuff with me, and I just scoop up all of those little, you know, little shampoos and everything that they give to people in hotels. And I have got a big, huge box of them. So I want to make sure that you get that.
We'd love to have them. Anything that anyone could even donate whatsoever, I'll personally come pick it up so that we can put it together. I don't care how much we get. It will all go to a good cause. I mean, we're not even profiting or anything like that. It's really out of the goodness of our hearts, you know, because we see this happening every day. You know, every day, it's a humbling experience as well.
Yeah. Well, I saw a gentleman down on the street corner that just, you know, he just wanted a shower. He just wanted to be able to take a shower somewhere. Now, when you talk to people, there are availabilities for people to get little comforts like that. But whatever people can do to come together is always wonderful in my book. So what is that Facebook page that people can go on to?
Honestly, it's under Misfits. And other than that, I don't know. But it's a Misfits crew. We are a car club. They do talk about it. Like I said, I'm computer illiterate, so I can't tell you that because I live life day to day and not through a computer because I like to experience it. But it's a Misfits crew. We are on Facebook. If you just Google it up or however you guys go to locate it and what have you, it's there. And we will respond to you. Like I said, she's going to kill me for doing this. But I want to get as much together as we can. We'll accept any type of donation for clothing, blankets, shampoos, soaps. I mean, we've never done this. It's a Misfit stand down. This is the first year, so it does include veterans as well.
Okay, sorry, I was actually looking for your... I'm going to have to do some research on this, and I will research for you and find your page because there are a number of Misfits car clubs. And, of course, there's the popular Misfits, the musical group. So, Rick, thank you so much for the information, and thank you for what you're doing in the community, and thank you for calling. I appreciate it, and you have a great day. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Mike coming up on 884-9910. That's the number to call for 99.1 FM Talk, your live and local FM talk station for all of Northern Nevada. It's KKFT. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines are open at 884-9910 and always at monica@991fmtalk.com. That is my direct email, and that's how we talk. A lot of people have my text. Good morning, Julie. Julie already texted me this morning. Lee already Facebooking me this morning with messages. And that's how we do it. That's how we get the messages out from every area. Carson City, Douglas County, we are all one. We are Northern Nevada. And we will continue to be Northern Nevada strong. Let's go back to those phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with Mike this morning. Hi, Mike. What would you like to talk about?
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to reference Peavine as it was discussed a little earlier. And it's the last caller. That's awesome what he's going to do for the folks that are under bad luck. But besides the squatters or homeless or bums or druggies or whatever we're going to call the folks hanging out down there, there's also an issue with a lot of gun-carrying, flag-waving Northern Nevadans. I work for the government. I don't want to say what its agency because I don't want to get in trouble for airing dirty laundry. But I know that the Forest Service had a cleanup on Peavine that was put on the news. I can't remember which channels. And there was only like 18 people that showed up. And out of the 250-some thousand folks in Reno and then another 100,000 in Sparks and 30 some thousand in Carson, I was really disappointed because I myself picked up 15 gallons of just shotgun shells. So the homeless that lack funding to buy a whole bunch of ammo aren't the ones out there shooting everything up and leaving their trash behind. That's the people who are pointing their finger at those folks for making a mess. And then the other side of the one point in the finger aren't going out to do anything and remedy that as well. Did you guys see all that Target stuff that was shot up and left about?
Oh, yeah. People just take out old computer monitors. They take out TVs. Anything that they can get a hole through, they'll take out and clean up. And that, I guess, you know what, Mike? I don't know what it is about some of us that we clean up after ourselves. Even when I go to a specific range, you know, my husband and I take a broom and we clean up our spent brass. It's just the polite thing to do. And just because it is a desert, just because it is someplace that, you know, you can go and you can shoot for free, doesn't mean that you leave it in a condition that is worse than when you showed up. That is just being a polite member of society.
That's right. I feel the stewardship, the land stewardship around here is very poor, you know, with Tahoe and Truckee and all the outdoor stuff that we have to offer. Often I see campfires left unattended, tons of trash in camping areas out in legitimate camping areas, not squatting areas. And where I work, there's a difference between the areas where people squat because they kind of have a sense of security and numbers and kind of stick together. And then you got the guys with the brand new jacked up truck and all their gear from REI, and they're leaving campfires burning to include all their trash. So it's not just
you see trucks going out in the middle of nowhere and with a bed full of trash, and then all of a sudden they're coming back in a clean vehicle. So, Mike, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate that point. I got to take a quick break here. And since we are the home of Fox News, this is how it happens, people.